Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
And right now we have the world famous John Harris, sideline reporter for Texans Radio, Texans TV. And I encourage all of you to read Harris Hits on Texans.com. It's a very good read. John, what I want to know is what were your thoughts before the two-point conversion? When you knew before the snap of the ball, all right, he's going for two right here, Doug Marrone, the head coach of the Jags, were you like, yeah, we got him right where we want him? Or were you like, uh-oh, we may go down by one with 30 seconds left? Where was your mind at before that play, John?
Well, when I saw DJ Chark wide open on a touchdown pass, I went, oh, bleep. Because I had a feeling, because a lot of times I look at it, and I'm sure you guys watch it, I'm sure Clint probably watches the game the same way, and he looks at it as a quarterback, and I think about it as a coach, like, what would I do? And I was thinking they were going to go for two the entire time. So as soon as that ball's in the air, I see Chark catch, I look over, and everybody in the sidelines is signaling two. And at that point, I got a little worried because I remember that John DeFilippo comes out of the Doug Peterson, Andy Reid tree. And last year against Philadelphia, all I can remember seeing the entire game when the Texans were in man coverage were rub routes. Why guys wide open, guys, our guys run into each other. It was dreadful, and that was all I could think about. Like, here comes a rub route. We're going to be in man coverage. We're on a goal line. Here comes a rub route. And then all of a sudden, he hands off the Fournette, and I'm like, oh, my God, we got a shot. Because of anything that we had done all day, that was the one thing defensively that – I mean, we did a lot of good things defensively, but that was the one thing we had done better than anything else. And Reader and Blacks did a great job getting penetration. Zach fired in there. And then Justin had to come and get the cleanup right there at the goal line. Here's the thing about it. If you watch that play down at the bottom of the screen, they run a route, which makes me think that it was maybe some sort of run-pass option. And they were in a 3-by-1 set. And the outside two guys, the number three, the inside receiver, he runs just a crosser, just get out of the way. And they run a rub route with those two guys. And lo and behold, our two guys run right into each other. And Keelan Cole goes right to the middle of the end zone. If that was a true run-pass option and Minshew was reading it, had he held it for another half second, Keelan Cole's wide open, and it's 14-13. But he gave it to Fournette, trusted Fournette, and the Texans got to stop. And what's the old saying? Sometimes you'd rather be lucky than good, and that might have been one of them. We were probably more lucky than good. But then again, on Monday night against the Saints, could you have gotten that one to go to your direction? Yeah, probably. Did you play as well, if not better than the Saints? Maybe, yeah. So, look, the football gods sort of even things out in some sense. And sometimes in a season, you need one to maybe go your way. And maybe that's the one. Maybe that's the one that kind of kickstarts this season and kind of get in a groove and hopefully go to L.A. and play well against a good football team in the Chargers and come out of there with a W. That, I think, would be making a pretty significant statement. And I think a lot of people would forget about the fact that it was 13-12, and they would just think about 2-1.
John, what do you mentioned the rub route. That was also, I believe, Taysom Hill's touchdown against in the New Orleans game. Very similar. Clearly, that's a point of concern for the secondary in the red zone, inside the 10. That was obviously a goal line situation from the 2.5. And your experience, like, how do you coach that differently? Is that a communication issue? How do you get beyond that to where you're able to defend that a little bit better?
Clint, that's a great question, and I know some people ask, well, okay, what's a rub route? What does that mean? Well, when you're on offense, you call it a rub route. When you're on defense, you call it a pick route. And so what you're essentially trying to do with two guys that you know are in man coverage is you're trying to cross those routes such that you get a defender behind the pick, basically. And some people say, well, isn't that a penalty? It is if it's a blatant block by the one receiver not going to get the ball. Here's the thing that does scare me a little bit, Clint, is the fact that the Jaguars ran something like that out in the field, and oh, I know what play it was. I can't remember, but the Jaguars were going north to south, and they were on our sideline, and Fournette ran up the sideline wide open. and Minshew missed him by like 5 yards. I don't know if y'all remember that play. He came out of the backfield.
Yeah.
And Fournette's wide open. It's like, oh, my God, he's running to the end zone because there's nobody going to catch him. He can fly once he gets in the open space. And I just went, whew, sigh of relief. Well, when I went back and I watched that play, it's the same thing. It was another rub route out of a pseudo bunch set, and it's just that Fournette was the last part of the bunch, and he got caught. Well, Dylan Cole and Lonnie Johnson run into each other. That's a case of guys not playing together, not running that and working on that together because they had not been on the field before together. And I think that's what it comes down to, being on the field together so you know to communicate, hey, if we get this, I'm going to jam this guy, you go over the top. And I think a perfect example of that was in the Super Bowl in 2014 against the Patriots taking on the Seahawks. And that's exactly what the Seahawks ran. They tried to run a rub route where the initial guy was going to just run right straight up the field, and then the inside receiver was going to draft off of him into the end zone. He would have been wide open. But the guy at the point jammed the receiver so that he couldn't get off the ball. That was Brandon Browner. And then Malcolm Butler was able to get downhill to the route and pick it off. So you have to just rep that and rep that and rep that and rep that. And what I think was interesting about that particular play was the Patriots talked about that after the game and said, in practice, we got beat on that play all week long. All week long. And finally, Brandon Browner said, I'm not getting beat on this. I'm going to jam this guy. You go over the top and get it. And that's the way the Texans are going to have to handle this from now on. But it's going to have to be some young guys and some guys that are not as experienced in the Texans system to be able to work together and say, look, we can expect this. You jam hard and you go over the top, or I'll jam hard, you go over the top. But we cannot get beat on those routes anymore because Philadelphia killed us with it. Now, luckily, Minshew didn't see it, and you live to see another day. But I guarantee you there are teams that did see that and are going to get down on the goal line, and they're going to run that same particular play. So hopefully the Texans are going to be ready for it. And that's one of the great things about football is, you know, you might get beat on you may not get beat on it, but you know you screwed it up. So you know what? Fix it for next time and don't let it happen next time.
Like Craig's dad said in Friday, you live. You live to fight another day. I love that, John.
Yeah.
Great movie, by the way. Have you seen Friday, John?
I have.
Multiple times, right?
Yeah. Why is Debo Samuel named Debo? I mean, that's a true story. That's what Debo Samuel, wide receiver for the 49ers, is named Debo because of Debo and Friday.
That is phenomenal. By the way, I just picked up Debo Samuel in a variety of my fantasy football leagues after the big game he had for the 49ers last week.
Smart move.
So John, Clint and I, really everybody in Houston has been documenting this, but in terms of clock management at the end of the first half, Akins catches the rock at about the 50, 31 seconds roll off. Hyde, next play, 5 yard run, 28 more seconds roll off. After a slant to Hopkins to get a first down at 43 seconds left, 20 more seconds roll off the clock. That's 79 seconds of clock runoff in the final 2 minutes of the first half when Bill O'Brien has 3 timeouts and does not use any of them until very late in the first half, and you leave second down and you leave third down on the table before Fairbairn hits that field goal. What was your read on that? Well, was that somewhat frustrating for you being on the sideline watching the clock just bleed out like that, or where was your mind at with that?
Yeah, I think frustration is probably the right word, Rick. And I didn't have too much of a problem after the Akins and Hyde plays. I thought, okay, look, you don't. I think they still had 3 timeouts too. So you're kind of playing that game a little bit as well, if I remember correctly. So you don't want to screw that up and then, you know, maybe get another 10 yards. You call all your timeouts and they got 3 left and you miss a field goal. Also, they got the ball at the 40-yard line or something like that. So I understand that being a really tricky aspect. But, you know, a little while later, and look, Coach has a point, and I'm not trying to bail him out. And I can speak from having been down there and knowing when to call timeouts and all that kind of stuff. I mean, it's one of the more difficult things that a coach has to do, because if you think about coaching, you get into coaching because you like the X's and O's, you like how this chess piece moves to this chess piece, and one of the last things you really kind of think about is, you know, clock management and you know, when do I call my timeouts? Well, should I take a timeout here? When do I do that? You know, a lot of those things kind of, they come in time. Now, I think it was just more frustrating because I wanted to see them put a seventh spot up before halftime, and it just didn't turn out that way. I know it's a really difficult thing, and I think that, as he said on our coach's show, I felt like they handled the end of the second half very, very well. End of the first half, not as well. I think that's – how do I say this? I mean, it's life. You screw something up, you get it right the next time, and you move on, and hopefully you go back and you don't make that mistake. I think a perfect example of that is last year, week two, we were playing the Titans, and there were 17 seconds left, and we were down by three. And I want to say we had the ball probably on just the other side of midfield. And we got one play off. Deshaun tried to scramble through and find a guy, and then it just basically he completed the pass with like 3 seconds left. We didn't have a timeout, and we ran out of time, lost the game. We went 0-2. I mean, the city was up in arms. We went to Indianapolis in week four. We had the ball at just about the 40-something yard line, maybe like the 40, 45. Threw a pass to Hopkins. He gets down. We had no timeouts, and Deshaun gets everybody up the line of scrimmage, spikes the ball with 3 seconds, kick a field goal. It was like we learned from week two to week four, and hopefully that's going to be the case that everybody involved in that situation, coach, players, everybody, is going to learn from that situation and say, we get in that situation again, we're not going to lose time like that. We're going to make sure that we attack the end zone and put it in the end zone right before half, because that's a perfect double-dip situation. You put it in the end zone there, you come out of half, you don't shoot yourself in the foot. My God, that drive after half was just brutal. But if you get a touchdown there, maybe you come out and you drive down and you score. And now all of a sudden you're up 17-3, and they're ready to pack it in and go home. Jalen's been screaming at Doug Marrone, and they're ready to go. But all of a sudden it's 6-3, and they got the ball in the third quarter, and now they're feeling their oats a little bit. And then they started kind of ramping up the pressure, and they're in the ball game. So hopefully it's a situation that everybody's going to learn from and will be better the next time. I mean, I honestly, what else at this point is there really saying? I'm not trying to evade the question at all, but really, I mean, you guys know it. I think everybody in here knows it. Everybody in the city knows it. Everybody that saw it knows it. So, all right, screwed up. Let's move on. Let's get to the next time, and next time let's make sure we get it right.
I think it's fair to say that there were multiple things, and John, you and I have talked about it multiple times, that you know, these are the kind of games that you learn from. And I think there's multiple times in that game that as a team, you sit down with your group and you say, had we done one of these four or five things right, this would have been a two-possession game and really a very convincing win for the Texans. And now the fact you came out with a win is great, and it's great teaching tape for this week right here. Let's move on to San Diego. How do you feel before you talk about San Diego specifically, how do you feel about this team after 2 weeks and going into week three versus a future Hall of Fame quarterback?
Well, it's funny, before the game, and I think maybe I talked to you guys and some of the others, I kind of wanted to get a win, but get a comfortable win, but nothing spectacular. 20-3, just convincing win, something comfortable in the second half. You know, we kind of laugh and joke about it, and hey, we're ready to move on to LA and then take on the Chargers and then really make a statement against the Chargers. Well, we took that whole comfortability thing and threw it out the window, but we ended up with the win. And because my point is, I wanted to kind of be lying in the weeds going out to the Chargers, like, hey, the Chargers got this thing unlocked. You know, the Texans, the Texans are the Texans. We'll be fine. We get them at home. We're going to roll these guys. And I wanted to go out there and put a statement on those guys, and I still think we can do that. This is a banged-up team. Derwin James is out. Melvin Gordon hasn't signed a contract or come back. Russell Okung, a left tackle, is not there. I think their offensive line can be had, but they've also got some top-of-the-line talent across the board that they can exploit you at times. They got Melvin Ingram and Joey Bosa, tremendous football players out on the edge. I mean, you're going to have to devote Darren Fells and Jordan Akins to help, probably at least on the right side, to help Rod a little bit one-on-one against those guys. You know, Casey Hayward is one of the better cover corners in the league, a playmaker, guy with a ton of ball skills that if you float one in his direction and you're not paying attention, he's going to go pick it. And then offensively, I know Melvin Gordon, I just mentioned he's out, but, you know, Austin Ekeler and Justin Jackson run the rock. So it's not – by the way, Keenan Allen is one of the best route runners in the league, and he's probably going to be matched up on Bradley Roby all game because Roby's probably going to move back inside again. And that's where Keenan Allen is doing the majority of his damage. And then when Allen goes outside, Roe will be out there with him. So, by the way, they got the gunslinger at quarterback. So this is a really good football team. And I know people say, well, they got beat by the Lions. Look, they lost to the Lions. The last four drives of that Lions game, They fumbled on the Lions one. They missed a field goal. They missed a field goal. And then Phillip threw an interception on third or fourth down with a minute left in the game. So it wasn't as if they didn't move the ball or didn't have success offensively. They just couldn't score points. If they would, if they just would have made those two field goals, they're driving down to kick a game-winning field goal and or not even – they're already ahead. They're just running out the clock at that particular moment. So this is a good football team that we're going to get matched up against, and it's just a matter of where their confidence level is. And if we rush the quarterback the way that we did against Jacksonville with an offensive line that's about the same – as LA's is, this is not a great offensive line. Look, Marquise Pouncey is a great center. He's very similar to Brandon Leonard from the Jacksonville Jaguars. But then you've got no left tackle. You got Michael Schofield in here, who is a tackle playing guard, basically. Sam Tevy can be a toll booth, basically. So guys got to get ramped up and get to Phillip Rivers. And here's the other thing. He's not going to get out of the pocket like Gardner Minshew. He might, you know, once every blue moon, it hurts you a little bit. But you know where he's going to be. Go get him, get the ball out, and turn them over a little bit and try and put a number on these guys, but it's a good football team. Go make a statement out in L.A. that you deserve to be in the talk amongst the best teams in the AFC. But you got to go out and earn it, and this is a good opportunity to be able to do that against the Chargers.
Hey, John, you the man. Always appreciate it, man. We'll talk soon. Have a great rest of the week and a safe trip out to L.A. for the Chargers game, and we'll talk to you, man.
Absolutely, boys. Take care. Thanks for having me.
That is John Harris, and I like where he went right at the end there. This is 1-1 against 1-1 in the AFC. The Texans want to win the conference. The Chargers want to win the conference. This is a huge Week 3 game.
Yeah, big-time Week 3. It's a big-time matchup. You slate this as one of the games on the Texans schedule that, for me, I had it as a loss of preseason. Now, this is before Tunsil and before Clowney's gone and before all Bradley Roby's playing well and Whitney's coming along and Steels is obviously a big play guy that's a factor on this offense. There's a lot of changes has happened since then. But, to think that 2 months ago that this was a possible win for the Texans, I think is a toss-up. Now, got to believe they're favored.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.